Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, April 19th. Hashtag full squad for the first time in a long time. Got the entire media brethren here today. I'm J.E. Skeets along with Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Brethren.
You know, we got the hottest top shot hot boy in the world, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery back from the beach. Still taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
I'm cool, man.
Hey, okay.
What?
And last but not least, making the magic happen, is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Lee, how was it?
Fantastic, thanks. Really, really beautiful island down there in Turks and Caicos. Weather was perfect. Great family vacation. Spent a lot of time in the ocean. Did some crazy things I've never done before, and it was just awesome.
Like what?
Aquaman!
Went up parasailing, out snooba diving, which is something I'd never even heard of until I got down there. It's halfway between snorkeling and scuba diving. It's more it's more scuba than snorkel, but you go down underwater and you're sort of attached to a tank and you go down on the bottom of the reef and saw some incredible turtles and just some great... Man, those sea turtles are something special, you know? Yeah. And Finding Nemo was on the plane on the way home, so I watched it again just to see them, like, talk. Because those turtles do seem like hippies, man.
You got some totally thrill issues, dude. You know, it's awesome. It's great stuff.
All right, well, you got a beautiful tan going on right now. I hope you're wearing sunscreen. I know you had your rash guard on and all that, but...
Skeetsy, you know, a tan is actually... what do you say?
There's nothing healthy about a tan. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, no, we were lathered up in sunscreen and covered up in hats all the time because it actually wasn't super super hot down there, which was nice, but still just didn't see a cloud for like 3 days. So
well, fantastic. So you're rejuvenated here, you're ready to talk some winners and losers from the NBA weekend.
I am very ready to. It really did disconnect there for a few days, which was awesome. So that's what you need to do every now and again.
Okay, great. Well, shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, leave your comments, subscribe. Email us your questions and comments for this week's Beach Steppin' podcast. Back to the beach there. Email them in nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in @NoDunks Inc. And go grab your merch, your No Dunks merch, over at NoDunks.com. Okay, winners and losers of the NBA weekend. Let's start with the winners. Trey, you're going to get us started here today, man. Where do you want to go?
Oh, back-to-back Mondays. Your winner of the weekend. I hate it here. The New York Knicks! I don't know that I've seen Knicks fans this giddy since maybe Linsanity, because not only did the Knicks win both their games this weekend, both of those wins were almost double wins because of who they came against. On Friday, the Knicks handled the Mavericks in Dallas pretty easily. A huge game for Julius Randle. 44 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 three-pointers. Most importantly, he outplayed Kristaps Porzingis, who went for 23 points on 20 shots. The Knicks got the win. That could have been enough. Last season, though, beating the Mavericks and Porzingis was like the Super Bowl for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. The Knicks are 3-1 versus Dallas since the trade. RJ Barrett, a pretty solid game on Friday, a nice fourth quarter. Derrick Rose was good, and a huge block by Nerlens Noel in this win too. But the Knicks, unfortunately, they weren't done. They got another win on Sunday, this one against the Pelicans in thrilling fashion. Down 7, 3 minutes, 45 seconds left. Derrick Rose took over, scored 9 points down the stretch. Dimed up Reggie Bullock in the corner for a game-tying 3. Blocked Eric Bledsoe's attempt to send things to overtime. A steal and a score to kick things off. Knicks never trailed in OT for the win. That was the Knicks' 7th straight win, the most in 7 years for the franchise. But just like with Porzingis, this was also a double win for New York, because after the game, Zion Williamson was straight up beaming, talking about his first professional game in New York City. He called it the Mecca of basketball, said it was his favorite place to play, outside of New Orleans, obviously.
Yeah,
obviously, outside of New Orleans. Biggest grin on his face that I've ever seen. Things could not have gone more perfectly for the Knicks than they did this weekend. They're a half game back of 5th in the Eastern Conference. They vanquished Kristaps Porzingis. They're getting the Mavs pick in the summer. And Zion Williamson is obviously going to sign with the Knicks as soon as his contract is done there in New Orleans. I hate it, but great stuff, honestly, from the Knicks this weekend.
Yeah, Tass, I saw you talking about Zion's post-game interview there, where he was beaming. There is no doubt. Like, no one's exaggerating with that. He was smiling from ear to ear in a loss, but just talking about playing in Madison Square Garden. Have you guys been? It's a beautiful place to watch a basketball game. I don't know. I can't remember if you guys have ever been, but it is awesome. And he was pumped. But yeah, Knicks fans going crazy, not only with this winning streak and them still, like, you know, sniffing there, like the 5th seed even. They're holding on to 6th. But yeah, now they're convinced Zion Williamson is coming their way. So that's a pretty good weekend if you're a Knicks fan, right, Tess?
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. I mean, they're going to be on cloud 9 today, and then they'll realize tomorrow he ain't coming anytime soon.
Right.
I mean, it's literally would be 5.5 seasons until he shows up there in New York. So they should be happy. They're in the 6th seed, though. Let's not, like, I understand they're doing well, but if they make the play out tournament, as I like to call it now, if they make the top 6 seeds, that's a heck of an accomplishment for the Knicks this season. I think that would be that would be basically their ceiling, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're riding high right now. Things are going perfectly. Like, Julius Randle obviously is going to be their game in and game out, but then the problem is behind him. Are you going to get enough consistent performances from Derrick Rose, who was amazing, Alec Burks, and RJ Barrett, really, as those offensive weapons? I think the Miami Heat will eventually pass them. The Heat are getting a little bit of juice going. But yeah, the Knicks can ride high, and Sports Talk Radio will be scorching hot, and Jimmy in Brooklyn, New York City, in Brooklyn, New York, will be calling in to every sports radio show he listens to, and not Jimmy Butler, other Jimmy. You know, like, everybody in New York is going to be pumped. Yeah, the Knicks are great again, but let's slow the flow just a little bit, because I understand you got to be high right now, but I think the Knicks ceiling is basically where it's at right now. Just to put it in perspective a little bit. They can ride it, though. I mean, they're playing well.
Here's the question that Richard wants to know, Tass. You slipped it in there. Why would Zion sign an extension with the Pels? Tell him why.
Money.
They all do.
Yeah, you have to. Hey, name the last rookie that left after 3 years. I mean, there was you would basically be putting yourself out there, like, it's you become an unrestricted free agent after year 5, which is dumb. Mm-hmm. You'd be giving up so much money for several years. You'd be losing out on, what is it, like, at least upwards of, I don't know how much it is, but it's in the 90s or something like that, of millions of dollars. If you got injured, then you're done. No one has ever done it before. Since you can sign a rookie extension, every single rookie, even if they hated it where they are, like, he can demand a contract in year 4 or 5, or I'm sorry, demand a trade in year 4, 5, 6 or whatever, but he's going to sign that extension. And like you said, and I like playing in New Orleans. So he likes playing in New Orleans, too. It's not just Madison Square Garden.
And he was wearing a Bulls shirt. I don't know if anybody noticed that. Oh. That was a Michael Jordan shirt that he was wearing. It was not a Knicks shirt.
Oh, okay, wow. So he's going to Chicago or New York now.
Yeah,
there it is.
Michael Jordan.
Do you believe in the Knicks come playoff time? Because it's like looking more and more likely with the way Julius Randle playing is that they are a lock to get into this thing. Yeah. I think Natas thinks they might slip there even to the seventh, but then they would just have to win one game, whatever. They're probably going to get into the playoffs. I really think we can sort of start believing in them to that extent. But can they make any noise in a playoff series? Like, I know it depends a little bit on matchup, but what do you think about the Knicks?
Well, that's where it comes down to. They actually really have to finish at worst fifth, I think, to get out of that first round, because then they're likely to play a team that they probably can beat, the Hawks or the Celtics or even the Miami Heat. I think that's probably their best chance, because I don't think they can beat Philadelphia, Milwaukee or Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So if they're in that sixth spot, they're probably going to face Milwaukee in the first round. They could win a game or two, for sure. There's no question that they've been, you know, very impressive this season. So I think they can win a game there, especially in New York. Just can't see them beating either of those top three teams in a series. So if they can get the Atlanta Hawks, that would be, I think, a dream matchup for them in the first round. Whether it's in New York as home court advantage or Atlanta, doesn't really matter, because the Hawks, we know, aren't experienced themselves in the playoffs. So that's really what they're gunning for right now, is just to get to a position where they can potentially get out of the first round. Because if they do that, then that's a huge success and a huge achievement for them, and for, particularly for Tom Thibodeau. In his first season, I think that would have been the high watermark going into the season. So, yes, they can make noise, but they desperately need a team that they can beat, obviously, in that first round. And I don't think there's many. I think the Hawks is probably the team they would like most to face. And after that, it's, you know, probably the Celtics, because they've been so inconsistent this season. And then after that, you know, it's Miami. But I think either way, the way that they're playing, you just start to feel. And Zion, it's funny how he said about the New York Knicks and Madison Square Garden there, because for most of his, you know, senior life, his adult life, the Knicks have been terrible, but they obviously still have that appeal to young players where it's like, it's still Madison Square Garden, it's still the Knicks, even though they haven't been a model franchise for a long time now. They still have that cachet about them where players, young players, still feel that they want to play in Madison Square Garden.
Trey, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, so I apologize. But I was thinking and watching this game where we had Randle and Zion, you know, going at it. And it took a lot of shots for Randle to get a wicked box score, but he did a lot, and he's been incredible this year. He's very likely, I think, going to be in the conversation, may even make the team for an all-NBA squad, right? Like, could both these guys in Zion and Randle make the all-NBA teams, or will, like, one of them bump the other one out, is sort of what I keep coming back to.
It's got to be between these two because they have similar-looking games.
Maybe.
Interesting. I mean, Randle's got a chance. I think he's got a little bit better chance than Zion, just because the Knicks have been such a pleasant surprise story, and he has been the kind of emblematic of the Knicks' entire season, mm-hmm. making a huge jump when nobody expected it. Same from the Knicks. I don't know. I didn't break down a top six, but I know every position in the All-NBA is going to be tough for anybody to make it. But I mean, what Randle is doing, he's producing night in, night out. He's making clutch plays. He's making clutch shots. And the box score numbers are huge for a winning team. So he's got as good a chance as anybody to make a third team.
Yeah, I think Randle's actually has a better chance, I guess, to put it that way, than Zion. And you're right. Like, I just, that's why I threw that question at you, because like, I haven't actually looked at him. It's like, is Kevin Durant going to make an All-NBA team just because he's Kevin Durant, but he hasn't played a ton?
Great question.
I mean, Anthony Davis is another one. He probably won't make one.
No, like, I don't think so. Yeah, so maybe there'll be some openings for some of these guys. That's something we'll have to go through maybe later this week. Tass, any opinion on that? You think Randle's all deserving of an All-NBA squad, though?
He's deserving. He's all deserving, man.
All deserving squad.
All deserving All-NBA. Yeah, we went through, when we flew through the, on our Beach Steppin' podcast, we went through the guard position.
Yeah.
Heck, that's tough. Yeah, I flew through the names last Wednesday, even for the forward spot, because I wondered, can you squeeze over one of these guards that is going to be on the outside looking in? Because there's just so many. And Giannis is making it for sure as a forward. And then, there's the Paul George, Kawhi Leonard conundrum. Those two could make it. There's the Durant and LeBron. Like, I guess Giannis, LeBron, Lockett. And then there's four spots. I mean, one of those Clippers is going to make it. Mm-hmm. That's three.
Yeah.
And then it's Tatum, Durant, and then, the guys that we're mentioning now. So, there's a legitimate shot, I think, for Randle, unless I'm missing out on a big forward name. But I think those are the ones. So, I don't know. Just without really going into it, seems like one of those dudes would make it.
Yeah.
And I would agree. Randle, he's the big – big boy lefty that would make it out of the big boy lefty club of him and Zion Williamson.
Yeah, that's why I sort of like pit those two against each other, because I feel like only one of them is actually going to make that All-NBA squad. But you guys bring up great points. Like, is LeBron even a lock? Yeah, probably. Yeah. It is LeBron, but he's missed a damn good chunk of games here. I still think he's in there.
Like 2 years ago, he missed out, didn't he? I think when he had that injury-riddled season, I think he missed out then. So he needs to get back, you know, and get back to that form pretty quickly, just because it does be a lot of it is about how recently you were playing, and that sort of stays in the minds of the voters. It's like, oh, we can ignore the injury because he came back and he was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely there's definitely a lot more slots open this season because three big names, Durant, Davis, and LeBron, have going to miss so much time. So there could be an opening there for Zion. I just feel often, as the case with young players, though, you know, you kind of got to do it, you know, more in your sort of third or fourth season before you get that recognition usually. So, you know, he might just miss out, especially if they don't make the play-out tournament, as Tass says.
Someone who deserves a little love for their defense. He had unbelievable highlights on the defensive end in both games. Nerlens Noel. Did you see the block on Finney Smith? Was huge. And then that one on Ingram, who's trying to punch it home on him. And Nerlens Noel just all over him. So, yeah. JD, I thought you were gone there for a second. Maybe you just missed Lili. Kept the camera on him there for a while. I like that. Just zooming in on those long locks and that beautiful tan he's got going on. All right. So, yeah, just a little love for Nerlens Noel. I don't think he's going to be making, like, an all-defensive squad. Probably not. But, hey, Knicks' defense is pretty elite, and he was special in some of those plays. All right.
I mean, lock Tom Thibby in for Coach of the Year at this point, right? I mean, he's going to win it. Man. It's pretty likely the Knicks are taking home at least two awards because it feels like Julius Randle is the MIP, as we talked about last week. And I mean, how can it not be the Knicks right now? They're competitive every single night, every single possession, and that's why they're winning. Like, Randle has been great, but their defense is great through this season. They're missing their starting center, and Mitchell Robinson took zero steps back, slotting Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like,
what about the Monty? You're going to take it away from Monty Williams of Phoenix, finishing the two seed.
They went 8-0 at the bubble last year. People are going to remember that. That counts. Unfortunately, that's the thing. You want the key to winning Coach of the Year is to have a team that everybody thinks is going to be terrible, and then as soon as they're good, that looks more impressive than good going to great for some reason.
Yeah, well, that's true, and that's why, you know, maybe Quinn Snyder has a tough go of winning it. Another deserving guy, Nate McMillan. We talked about him. I don't think that happens, but it's a hilarious, like, turnaround midseason. Has that ever happened? Has a coach ever won it when they took over in that year?
And midseason, like, probably not.
I mean, Doc Rivers has got a case if the Sixers finish with the best record in the East as well.
Yeah, does he?
Of course he does.
I'm not so sure about that. I'm not convinced about that. Okay. Anyway, well, we don't need to get into Coach of the Year debate right now, but I love it. I guess we are going to have to start doing a lot of, like, our award predictions here. There's a month until the playoffs start, basically. Over the weekend, the play-in tournament starts a month from Saturday or something like that. So we're getting closer, guys. Okay, Lee, winner of the weekend, who you got?
Yeah, well, only one game for the Celtics, but it was a classic Saturday night battle against the Warriors, which Boston won and withstood a monster 47-point game from Steph Curry. And no Jaylen Brown, who was he's been on fire lately, but he missed the game with a non-COVID illness. You have to stress that now, that it's a non-COVID illness. So he might be back, I think, against the Bulls tonight. Anyway, Kemba was big. Marcus Smart was big. But Jabari Parker, who they picked up off the scrap heap, even he contributed 11 points off the bench. And they were all kind of scrappy plays, you know, broken plays, and he just was in the right place at the right time. Now, if Jabari Parker can at least score, because we know he doesn't do much else, that he could give that bench the boost that it needs. I think that's the thing about him, is he can get buckets. It's just he doesn't really defend or create or do anything else. But he was in the right place at the right time, and he knows he's pretty much in the last chance saloon as well for his career. He's, you know, I mean, the fact that he was a free agent and no one really wanted him, the Celtics are desperate for just any sort of support, is good for him because there is an opportunity there for him. But getting back to the Celtics, that was their sixth win in a row, and it moves them into a tie for fourth with the Atlanta Hawks, and they are fifth because the Hawks actually have the tiebreaker against Boston winning the season series. They don't play again, so if those two teams have the same record at the end of the season, Atlanta would have home court advantage in a playoff series. And also, the Celtics have an easier strength of schedule from here from Atlanta. So that tiebreaker could be huge if those two teams stay locked in there. And look, the Celtics this season, I mean, they've looked really bad at times. But it doesn't really matter if you start playing your best basketball at the right time, and they are playing it right now. Tatum seems to be really picked up, especially again on Saturday night without Jaylen Brown. He had to step up. He was huge in a great battle there with Steph Curry. And of their six recent wins on the road, they beat Denver, Portland, and the Lakers, all playoff teams. So, you know, that just shows that the Celtics, they keep teasing us like this. It's like, I don't know if they're any good. And then you're like, well, maybe they are the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. And again, if they are at full strength,
they could certainly be a difficult out for one of those top three teams at their best. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty interesting season in Boston. But if they get it together at the right time, and I think Jaylen Brown, again, no serious injury there, just, whatever he had, some sort of cold or something, he comes back. And he had that huge game, too, against the Lakers just last week. So they're playing the right basketball at the right time, and it's going to come down to such a tight race for who does get home court advantage of that fourth and fifth matchup in the Eastern Conference. And they've got as strong a case as anybody. So
yeah.
I think it was a pretty good weekend for them because, as I say, Steph had a great game, the Celtics came back, and they got a very important win. Coming back from a road trip as well. You often drop that first game back, I heard. They didn't do that this time.
Yeah. This was one of the best weekends of NBA basketball this season. I don't think I'm like exaggerating there too. Like at least the nationally televised games were like really entertaining. We had some other like thrilling finishes. Felt like we had some duds, if I'm being honest, like over the last little bit. Maybe it's because March Madness was going on too and NBA took a little backseat. They had some great games. Like that one was amazing. That Warriors Celtics game on Saturday was fantastic, Tess.
I totally agree. It was a blast watching Steph and Tatum go toe-to-toe at the end, and then Steph giving some mad respect to Jason Tatum after the game, saying, you know, he's really expanded his game, he's really stepped into his role, he's really stepped into the number one spot for the Celtics. And yeah, they've stepped up the last few weeks because Tatum has been great, even though he says he's still using an inhaler pregame because he contracted COVID-19. He still doesn't feel 100% in the lungs. But yeah, they feel awesome. Yeah, watching Jabari Parker go from Sacramento Kings scrap heap from them to being on the Boston Celtics and just getting the ball and scoring, that was wild. I mean, they just picked him up. They picked up a number two draft pick. And can he stay healthy? Can he stay motivated enough to be in that role? You get the ball, man, five times a game. Just shoot that thing. You can score, but you got to be able to, you know, work your butt off while you're out there. So hopefully he can do that. But that's kind of the guy that they wanted. Anyways, this team, coming together. Yeah, I think it's like who is going to be hot these last 4 weeks? Because yeah, the Knicks have moved up the standings because they were because they've won six in a row and they were below 500. The Celtics are doing the same thing. I feel like there's a heat streak coming on, and then the Hawks can go from everybody giving them the label of, yeah, they're the four seed. They're the four seed in the East. They're the four seed in the East. They could just drop real quickly. So there's lots of basketball to be played, and it's who's going to finish hot to jump up in the standings. But the Celtics got a ton of potential. I think, you know, of these teams we're talking about, they have the highest ceiling because they have Tatum. They have Brown. They have a Kemba who, you know, had a little shimmy, shimmy shake after his big shot against the Warriors. Maybe he's feeling good. There's a lot going on with that Celtics team that's going right for once. I mean, it's, yeah, I can't fully buy in. I don't think anyone really, really fully wants to buy in, but it's nice to have them at least making noise, at least showing like they could, you know, give one of those top three teams a shake in the playoffs.
Lee, what's your favorite drink to order at the Last Chance Saloon?
I like the Pirate's Passion. That was one of the cocktails I was drinking down in Turks and Caicos down there. Yeah.
I order a boxcar social myself, happy to hear you add some nice beverages.
That's the Last Chance Saloon, right?
That's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought it was the Last Chance Taloon.
It's from I think it's from the Looney Tunes cartoon. I think.
That's where Elmer Fudd made his.
Yeah.
It made us money.
I hope we see the Last Chance Saloon in Space Jam 2. I'll be upset if we don't. All right, Tass. So maybe you teased it there, but who is your winner of the weekend? It is the Miami Heat, I'm guessing. You're talking them up here lately on what you need to know, and this one even this morning.
Well, yeah, for over the weekend, yeah, I'm hot for the Heat, no doubt.
If you need to cool down, have some Pirate's Passion.
Yeah, man.
Cool your booty down.
Pirate's Passion makes it sound like you had some sort of drink that had you on the shitter for like hours.
No. It was passion fruit. You know, they just put rum and gin. Like, it's just like, yeah, just give me something. Just give me some of those big, fancy, yellowy cocktails that I can just sit back and sip on that. I don't really care. They all taste kind of the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was great. All they right. get you. They, you know, the old two for one. You know, it's like, yeah, all right, sure. You want two? Not really, but yeah, give me two. For
right. Weren't you all-inclusive, though?
No, I wasn't all-inclusive.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Okay, okay,
no,
gotcha. No.
Yeah, one for Turks, one for Caicos.
Yeah, yeah.
One for Titos, one for Manos, one for Caicos.
One for Lily, one for Roxy.
Yeah, well, see, Roxy's not a big drinker, you know, so right. She gets a few sips, so I have to end up guzzling a couple of them there, you know.
I was a little bit drunk.
big umbrella in each of those drinks, right?
No umbrellas, actually. Very disappointing.
Well, think about the sea turtles. Think about those hippie turtles.
Good point. These were served actually like a Slurpee. You know, they don't put it in glasses. They put it in the plastic because they know if people get drunk and, you know, they tip them all over the place. So it took a little bit of the shine off it, to be honest. You know, I want the fancy. I want all the everything that comes with it. The big glass where you have to hold it like that and sip it like a real pretentious prick. God. Couldn't do it. I had to slurp it like I was at 7-Eleven.
He's back.
Yeah, this guy is refreshed and re-energized, man. Oh my god. Okay, Tass, tell me about the Heat, man. Why are you all into them?
Yeah. I'm hot for them because on Friday, Jimmy Butler called out his teammates after they lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was typical Jimmy fashion. He said, "Man, we're soft. Simple as that." It's a real Jimmy thing to say. And he called out Bam Adebayo specifically. He said, "Bam has got to take it to the hole more," and Bam did just that. I think. Going from Friday to Sunday, you know, Jimmy realized that Bam Adebayo could be the key to this team being really, really good. And Bam did that on Sunday, where he was going to the hole against the Brooklyn Nets. He responded. They didn't have Jimmy Butler in this game, I guess because he was soft. No, I'm just kidding. He had an ankle injury, so he was sitting. Bam had 21 and 15 on 9 of 16 shooting. I know that I talk a lot about, like, the guys on the fringes, the, like, on What You Need to Know. I talked about Derrick Rose today and Emmanuel Quickly a little bit, but if a team's going to be good, their stars obviously have to be good, and Jimmy sees that Bam Adebayo could be a real, real special player in this league. I mean, he's got the potential. He's a starting center that can bring the ball up. He can score at will. And against the Nets, even though they're seventh in the standings, you could see how they could be great. Because if Jimmy is there, and he's been great this season, and Bam steps it up a little bit in the number one role without Jimmy, then you could see how they can be good. And it went all the way down to the wire, which you probably shouldn't have if you're hot for the Heat like I am. But Bam Adebayo got it done. Last possession, he lined up Jeff Green. Took him close to the rack, and then when Jeff Green wouldn't give any more, did a little step back and hit a shot over him for his first buzzer beater of his career. So Bam got the game winner. Jimmy's got to be smiling. He didn't recognize Jimmy on the sideline with his glasses. It was unrecognizable to me, but he was happy. And yeah, everybody's got to be happy that Bam is playing to his potential a bit. Like, Tyler Hero hasn't been himself this season. He hasn't been bubble Hero at all. Goran Dragic has been in and out of the lineup. Victor Oladipo is injured for them, so they need Bam to be Bam. Yep. Jimmy sees that. And even though they're seventh again, not far from the Knicks, and we got a race. We got a race because Bam Adebayo is a special, special dude. So if he responds well to Jimmy calling him out, that's a good sign for the postseason for this team.
I've decided my best chance of winning that $100 off your Tass to have the Nets not make the finals is to have the Heat play the Nets in the first round. So like a 2-7 matchup, like that's what I want. Even if they don't beat them, to make it a war, right? To like, that would not be, I don't think, an easy victory by any means for the Nets. I think that'd be actually an entertaining series. I think Brooklyn would still advance. And then they would have to hopefully take on like the Bucks there in a second round situation. And then maybe the Sixers in a conference finals. Jeez, you imagine those three teams, if the Nets had to go through them, which is possible, and they could, don't get me wrong, could go all the way to the finals, but that's my best chance to have one of those squads, I think, knock off your Brooklyn Nets there and hopefully win me $100, but we will see. Yeah. But yeah, the Heater are tough.
And they're banged up. Like, Kevin Durant left this game on Sunday with a bit of a Charlie horse. Shouldn't be a major injury, but yeah, James Harden is still out, so they're definitely, they got to be worried a little bit, right? I mean, they're just freaking good, so it doesn't matter, but at some point,
we'll see.
Be worried.
Okay, a few mini winners of the weekend. The Grizzlies, I think we got to give a little tip of the cap to, a little tip of that awesome beach hat that you had on there, Lili, when you were down in Turks and Caicos. Memphis is in the midst of a 7-game road trip, a super long road trip here, but they started it off perfectly. They're 2-0. They opened that trip Friday with the 126-115 victory against your Chicago Bulls. Trey Kirby, Dylan Brooks, the most punchable face in the NBA, scored a season-high 32. He is having some great games recently. And then they followed that up over the weekend. Grayson Allen shot 7 of 10 from three-point range. He scored 26. A bunch of guys were in double figures as the Grizzlies beat the Bucks, 128-115. So the Grizzlies was my team at the halfway mark. So I just watched them. I think they're ready to go on a little bit of a run, especially when they get some of their guys back, which is weird because they don't have some of their guys. Brandon Clark's banged up. D'Anthony Melton, Justice Winslow. Now Valanciunas. This one sucks. He's in the concussion protocol. He took an elbow in the third quarter there, Saturday's game, and was down on the floor before getting up to continue playing. But he won't play in their next game. Though, Jaren Jackson Jr., he's been changed from upgraded, I guess, to doubtful there on the injury report. Now, he probably still won't play, but that means you're getting closer here. So that's good. We could see him pretty soon, which would be huge for the Grizzlies. They're a good road team. They're 16-10 on the road. They're weirdly 13-16 at home. So maybe they can get a couple more victories on this very long road trip. But I love Xavier Tillman saying, "We're the road warriors. That's our thing. That's our motto, road warriors. We walk in your trap and take over your trap." I keep talking about the Grizzlies, man. They're fun as hell to watch. You should be watching just for John Morant alone. But they got a bunch of these, like, scrappy guys. And we talk about JV all the time and how, like, he just enforces his will on the game, being a big dude that's not afraid to throw it around. But, yeah, all these other guys contributing. Tillman's been great off the bench. Like I said, Grayson Allen, so Grizzlies, man, I think they're going to be a playoff team, and it'll just be, you know, interesting to see where they fall in having to win one game, having to try and win two games to get in. Can they even just sort of, like, get up there and get back into that race for, like, I guess it's like the Blazers-Mavs there, right? Down more at the bottom.
Again, yeah.
Probably unlikely to get that far up, but I love watching the Grizzlies play. So, a winner of the weekend to them.
The people in the stream team are asking, Skeets, how can a team that has Grayson Allen on the team, how can the most punchable face in the league be Dylan Brooks?
It's crazy.
And then you've got Valanciunas there, who's actually throwing his face into everybody, getting hit in the face. It's a rough and tumble team here. And honestly, Grayson Allen, this guy's been balling lately. Yeah. If he didn't miss those free throws against the Mavericks, they win that game as well. He was in the midst of a great game. Finding a secondary playmaker and scorer has been great for the Grizzlies.
Well, who had a more punchable face than the actual Road Warriors, Hawk or Animal?
Tough call. Tough call.
Like Animal, actually, but I don't know. Animal, why.
Yeah. Which paint do you want smeared on your hand?
I think Animal had more dots in his paint. Dots are punchable. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I've got my my little wrestler action figures hanging around, and I've got the Demolition. I guess they were just called the Demolition, right?
Like, yeah, Demolition
Axe
Team.
Smash.
Right?
Demolition Team.
Axe and Smash.
Axe Smash and
Crush was the third one that they ended up throwing in,
Yeah, they kicked him to the side. Like, he was gone after a while.
Yeah,
right?
He was some sort of weird storyline there where there was a third guy. Yeah, you didn't know which two you were going to face on any given match.
Right. Oh, good.
Yeah, they
good
did
call.
That whole thing. Yeah.
You, Crush I need was also your help. The turtle in Finding Nemo. There you go.
Okay, there we go.
And then he was in WCW, right? Was he was there a long-haired Crush?
Yeah, that was him.
Oh, it was the same guy.
It's the same guy, I believe. Yeah. He was also in the WWF at one point, if you're thinking of the same guy I am. He had, like, the long blonde locks.
Oh.
And, like, his, like, whole thing was, like, he would squeeze your head like a pineapple or a melon and pop your head.
Give you your pineapple juice for your pirate drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm happy for Grayson Allen. 7 threes.
I know.
That's a freaking monstrous number, for him to bounce back and... We talked about Coach of the Year, Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah, he deserves a look. He deserves a look. I don't think
they basically have the same record as the Knicks. I mean, that's like a huge accomplishment for the Grizzlies if they can squeeze some pineapple juice out of that team. He's getting the most out of that squad.
I just want them in the playoffs. I really do, because I want to see Ja Morant in a playoff series. And I don't have them winning a first round series, but let's just get him in there. It would be good for like their growth, no doubt. All right, another winner of the weekend to the city of Montreal. Yes, for the first time ever in NBA history, we had three Montrealers playing in the same game. It all started, actually, too. It was this, I'm talking about the Raptors-Thunders game. Boucher was the real star, 31 points, 11 boards. The zombie Raptors here, they are still alive. They beat the Thunder 112-106. OKC's on a 10-game losing streak. They're not trying to win games. But Lou Dort, I saw the stream team going nuts. When are you going to talk about Lou Dort? Dort, He popped off for 29. He made all seven of his shots in the first quarter, including 5 threes. He started to cool off as it went on. And then let's not forget Kem Birch, also from Montreal, who started for the Zombie Raptors because they finally have a center here that can actually do something. And he was decent, you know, 7 points, 6 boards, but like doing the little things to help you win a game, like setting huge picks. Actually, he's not like that bad with the ball off the roll and stuff like that. So just a shout out to Montreal. You know, when you think of the Canadian ballers, you're generally thinking of the Toronto area, maybe BC. But Montreal, you know, three guys that are like solid players in this league, at least looking like they could be longtime rotation players in Boucher, Dort, and Birch. So just a little shout out to them. That's pretty cool for the 5-1-4.
Oui, bonsoir.
Hey, oui.
Enchanté, je suis Trey.
This guy's all over his babble, man. All right, Trey, before we get to the losers, we got to show some love to a bunch of big beefs, too.
A big weekend for big beefs. Getting busy in the butcher shop, carving up a triple stack of roast beef. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Rudy Gobert had 23 rebounds. Ladies and gentlemen, this is beef number 5. Classic. Clint Capella had 24 rebounds. That's his fourth beef. That ain't too shabby. Ain't too shabby. Beef. And Isaiah Stewart had 21 rebounds. Been waiting all season for a beef stew. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Oh my goodness. What a weekend.
What a weekend. Three beefs. That's a lot of roast beef! A couple of beef notes for you. Rudy Gobert takes the beef lead with beef number 5. The trumpet!
Trumpet made out of beef!
Okay. If somebody can make a trumpet out of beef, send it to me. I'll grill it up and eat it. Also, don't know if you guys caught this. The Pacers got beefed in back-to-back games there.
Oh,
Rudy
wow.
Gobert and Clint Capella both going 20-plus against the Pacers, who are one of the worst rebounding teams in the league, but have their own beefer. And Domantas Sabonis really makes you think. But the big news, of course, we finally got a beef from a guy nicknamed Beef Stew. Mm. It was meant to beef.
That's his nickname.
Wow. Beef Stew, yeah. I mean, he's a brawny guy. His last name's Stewart.
Yeah.
What else are you supposed to do? It's perfect. Yeah.
I love it.
My favorite part of while the beefs are playing, you're just enjoying every beef line. Like you're hearing it for the first time, Trey. You're just seeing it, like the Rudy Gobert one. I can't even think
the
of it now.
Mambo number 5.
Mm-hmm. No. What was the... I know I just watched it, but then I got hit with beef stew afterwards. Anyways, there's too many beefs.
Well, my favorite part is like when it happens now, I just think, what will be the line that Trey adds to it? Like the Capella one was interesting. Not too shabby or not too shabeef.
Shabeef.
You know, Capella threw me for a loop here. Yeah. I wasn't expecting this guy to beef last night. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was just ready to roll with a Rudy and a beef stew. But if Clint wants some, I'll throw some Swiss on that. No big deal.
It's catching on though, TK, because our buddy Grish was at the game, at the Hawks game yesterday, and he was giving me beef updates during the game. He's like, 17, Capella's at 17, looking good, look like we're getting a beef here. I'm like, all right, man, sweet. So, you know, people are into it.
Yeah, no doubt, and not a surprise that it would happen on a Sunday. Obviously, Chick-fil-A doesn't serve on Sunday, so beef down there at State Farm Arena.
All right, awesome stuff. No wedgies, unfortunately, but a lot of big beefs, which you love to see. All right, let's get to losers of the weekend, but first, a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Sorry about Squirmy, man.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, the boys were loving it because we found him outside, yep, brought him in, dug some mud, you know, took some mud in there. We threw like some food scraps in there. Squirmy had pretty good appetite, I'll tell you that too.
Really?
Yeah, you need a lot more water in there. Can't go a few days without the water. So anyway, you live and learn. There's more worms out there.
There's another Squirmy out there for sure. All right, let's get to NBA Weekend Losers. Trey, get us started. Where do you want to go?
Oh, loser of the weekend, the Dallas Mavericks. We talked about the loss on Friday against the Knicks. Tough loss, but the Knicks are a playoff team. They play hard every single game. On Sunday, though, the Mavs lost to the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento came in on a 9-game losing streak, and honestly, they smacked Dallas.
Yep.
Kings never trailed in this one. They got out to a 21-point lead. In the third quarter, there was a run by the Mavericks, mostly Luka Doncic. But Sacramento held on for the win in the fourth quarter thanks to a 12-point fourth from De'Aaron Fox. Luka was on fire, too. He scored 22 in the quarter, but the Mavs just could not get a stop. Pretty much the same thing on Friday and Sunday. Whoever the guards got on a switch, whether it be Derrick Rose, RJ Barrett, or De'Aaron Fox, were just living in the lane. Mostly getting to the rim, occasionally kicking out to teammates, but I don't know. You see the Mavericks getting roasted time and time again by these guards, and you just think the perimeter athleticism isn't quite there for the Mavericks to be able to keep up with these quick guards. You heard it on the broadcast a few times last night. Mavs can't lose this game, but they did. They've lost 4 of 5 now. Their only win was the Luka leaner, 2 games back at the Blazers for 6th in the West. If you don't want to play in the play-in tournament, you got to beat the bad teams.
Yep, can't argue with that one. Man, I feel like the Mavericks and Blazers sort of dropped the ball here over the last couple weeks. There was an opportunity to rise up there in the Western totally. Conference standings, and they both sort of were like just average. I think they're like maybe over the last 10, they're basically like 500 teams. Maybe the Blazers even worse than that. And I felt like there was an opportunity there to like, you know, maybe you catch the Lakers there, who have done well without their guys. You know, they play basically sort of 500 ball. But if you had gone on the winning streak, then maybe you get up there and then you're like getting a first round series with the Nuggets or something like that. Instead, some of these teams, I'm talking about the Blazers and Mavericks, are going to be in this probably the play-in tournament. And then they're going to have to win their way in. So it's a little disappointing. So Mavs as a loser, I think you could probably put the Blazers in there as well. But Lee, where do you want to go for yours?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to go back mainly to yesterday's game, as Trey alluded to earlier. The Knicks being a winner, the Pelicans are a loser. They desperately needed that win yesterday. Yeah. And again, Trey mentioned seven. They were leading by 7 with under 4 minutes to go and were still up with 3 with 8 seconds to go when Derrick Rose drove inside and Lonzo Ball should have let him have the layup because then it would have still been a 1-point game to the Pelicans. But instead, he kind of left his man, who was Reggie Bullock, in the corner shooting 40% from downtown. He hit the 3, tied the game, and then the Knicks went on to win by 10 in overtime. Afterwards, we got a great Stan Van Gundy rant, basically saying high school kids could have executed better than his team. He didn't say Lonzo's name, but he was basically saying Lonzo cost us the game. And if you watch that play again, he gets right into Lonzo's face and Lonzo's like, yeah, my bad, like that. And Stan hates that sort of stuff. Back-to-back overtime losses for the Pelicans this weekend to the Wizards and the Knicks. And they also dropped their 3rd game prior to that, also to the New York Knicks. And they're now 3 games back of San Antonio for that play-in spot. Their season basically is hanging by a thread, I think, right now. They cannot really afford to go any further behind. And, you know, all the speculation about Zion Williamson, obviously it's too early. But he is in his second season. And we just know that if the Pelicans don't make significant improvements, I think, next season, then all that speculation is certainly going to build up. Now, again, the Pelicans hold all the leverage here because they can offer him that huge contract. But there's pressure on Dave Griffin in that front office to get it right. You know, they've got some nice pieces there. I think Ingram's a good piece. I'm not sure. I don't think Lonzo Ball is a part of the future. I don't think Eric Bledsoe is a part of their future. And Steven Adams, who I thought was a good signing, not sure he's the right fit there either. So So Dave Griffin, you know, and obviously the season isn't over yet. I just feel it's going to be very tough for them to get into the play-in tournament. They've got some work to do. They've got some work to do because you know that if the Pelicans struggle again next season, then everyone's just going to say, well, you know, Zion, maybe he doesn't sign that extension. Maybe he just takes that 1 year sort of qualifying offer and gives himself a chance at free agency. Unlikely, but these things pretty quickly add up if the team doesn't make strides. When you've got a franchise altering player in Zion Williamson, you have to sort of put that team around him immediately. Otherwise, you know, the chat gets picks up straight away. And again, Stan Van Gundy, I'm not sure he's the right coach for that team. I'm not sure. Dave Griffin's a very, very smart GM. You know, friend of the program, so we know him. I was a little surprised he went with Stan Van Gundy, and I just wonder, you know, how sort of long he goes with him. Obviously, he gets this season, but next season, if they don't sort of start winning early, I wonder if he does make a change there because, again, New Orleans is not a franchise, not a destination franchise. We saw what happened with Anthony Davis. And you just know that people around Zion will be saying, listen, man, if they're not giving you a team, you know, who knows what could happen. So it's still a while off, but like I say, those things come around pretty quickly. So some pressure on the Pelicans certainly this summer.
Is Griff such a fan of the show that you get to call him Dave? I've never heard him called Dave in my life.
Dave. Yeah, I mean,
you called him Dave three times in the stretch of 1 minute there. I've never heard him called Dave.
I've seen him a couple of times on the road. I'm always a Dave. You know, we have a bro, huh? I mean, right. I guess, yeah.
Okay. I don't want to sugarcoat that Stan Van Gundy quote. I want to read it to everybody because he went in on his team. And yeah, you're right. Probably more specifically Ball. Quote, SVG, after that loss, nobody had to make a play, make a shot, make a pass. You didn't have to do anything. You just had to do what the hell you were supposed to do. High school guys could have executed down the stretch. With 7.8 seconds, high school guys could have done what they're supposed to do. Tass, that is that's a quote you do not see from an NBA coach all that often. I mean, I know he's frustrated. Stan Van's always frustrated. But, like, he didn't hold back there saying, like, you dumbasses. Like, I told you what to do and you didn't do it. And you left the guy in the corner when, like, you just gave up the one shot we weren't supposed to give up. Also, you could have taken fouls, anything else except what you guys did, like helping off and then leaving a wide open three-point shooter in the corner.
This was the time we needed to hear what Stan Van Gundy said on the floor to Lonzo Ball. Why aren't we getting that mic'd up?
Right.
Because Lonzo Ball left Reggie Bullock in the corner, and unfortunately for him, it was right in front of the Pelicans bench. So as soon as the ball went down, Lonzo Ball walked right to his bench, and Stan Van just tossed up his hands like WTF, threw it up and started giving it to him. And he was totally right. And I'm sure he saw minutes earlier, Lonzo Ball had a great drive, a fast break. He took it out of his own hoop and then scored at the other end, and he did a little high stepping. It looked like LaMelo Ball. You know, you're high stepping at one end, but you can't play D on the other end when it's just getting into the face of the other guy. It's totally true. I have no idea why he left Reggie Bullock in that quarter. It makes absolutely no sense. I wouldn't blame Dave. I wouldn't blame Trage. That's short for Trajan Lang. Nobody's ever called him Trage. But those guys in the front office, I mean, what are they supposed to do? I think it's interesting. They traded Drew Holiday before this season. You think about it now. Obviously, he would help, but he wasn't really on the same timeline with Zion Williamson. So they cashed in. You'd think Lonzo Ball, well, he's on the same timeline.
Right.
But I think he's got four more weeks in a Pelicans uniform because they need shooting. They need capable, reliable shooting. And they probably really, really miss Nickeil Alexander-Walker right now, who, yeah, he's not a big name, but he's scoring for them at the very least. You can't rely on Eric Bledsoe. This was a game where Eric Bledsoe had a great second half, and they still lost. So that's worrisome for them. But, yeah, it's really Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, and then blow it up. I mean, maybe keep Alexander-Walker because he's cheap, but they're just looking for guys. Kyra Lewis they'll probably keep around. But, yeah, I wouldn't say Zion Williamson, you know, is looking to leave quite yet, but yeah, at some point they have to build a good team around him. But I think Stan Van Gundy has given Zion the keys, so he's got to be happy with that. Zion's got to be happy that he's playing point guard and playing whatever position he wants. But yeah, they just got to help him out a little bit and get the right team around him, like we've talked about before. What's the perfect fit around Zion? I mean, it seems like it's a LeBron-type recipe, right? Let the guy drive, get some shooters around him. They have no one that's really reliable, even though Lonzo's young and has upside. I don't think you can say, hey, we'll give you a four-year, $80 million deal that he's going to get on the market, because they're unsure if he's going to be a reliable shooter. Right.
Yeah. The problem is, you also, if you're going to get a bunch of shooters around Zion, they need to be able to play some defense. They don't stop anybody, this team. They give it all back on the other end. But we'll see. And, you know, that sort of SVG's like thing, right? You know, we're going to get a good defense in here and we're going to turn that around. They're like 27th in the league when it comes to defensive rating. They just can't get enough stops. So it's a little disappointing. But yeah, do you think Stan Van Gundy's coaching them next year, Trey? If you were a betting man?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay. Only because he is a notable coach and they just signed him to a deal. So those kind of things, I think they certainly factor in. Not to mention, he's the guy who really put the ball in Zion's hands and said, go make a million plays. There are less questions now, I think, about Zion than there were coming into this season, but more questions about everything else with regards to the Pelicans and how to actually build around Zion. I don't know. You saw that Stan Van Gundy's best teams were built around a big ball handler and a screen and roll kind of guy. So maybe they keep him around because they think, I don't know, we can get a super Hedo Turkoglu out of this. There's a weird comparison for Zion for you. But a wing guy who handles the ball and makes every play, it's at least a similar. But yeah, you got to get some shooting. You got to get some defense. You got to get the things that Stan Van Gundy is known for, because right now it's basically just Zion, and maybe Brandon Ingram will score some points as well.
Final loser of the weekend, I want to give it to the NBA for finding the Spurs and Raptors this weekend. I want to get your take on this, guys. They fined the Spurs and the Raps $25,000 each, again, over the weekend, for violating the league's player resting policy. So the Spurs sat DeRozan, Patty Mills, Teenage Mutant, Jakob Poeltl, to give them rest on Saturday night in Phoenix. And it didn't matter. Spurs hammered the Suns. Like, they got a huge victory. Raptors also fined $25,000 on Saturday for violating the same policy the night prior. They were also victorious, though, despite resting Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam. They beat the Magic 113-102. So according to the league's resting policy, teams should not rest multiple healthy players for the same game. And when they do rest healthy players, it's supposed to be in home games. I give them a loser of the weekend because I think if there's one season to get rid of this dumbass rule, it's this one, where teams are like having to like sort of save themselves from like running their guys into the ground or getting them injured because they're having to play all these crazy back-to-backs. The schedule is condensed. It's weird. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and in the Raptors' case, they're not even at home. So I just thought it was fascinating that they like, wow, well, we're sticking to our guns. Hey, you guys rested some players, $25,000 each. And it's like such a like meaningless fine, to be honest, too. It's like, why? Why did they do this? So Lee, I mean, it seems like you're agreeing with me. I'm just like baffled by this. Like, not this season, guys. Like, yeah. You're like, it's already insane. We're hearing guys like Fred VanVleet say, you know, this was, of course, all about the money and stuff like that. We all know that's going to be the case. Like, but teams are actually trying to, like, think of their players first in some of these situations. Mm-hmm. And the NBA says, well, no, it's got to be at home and can't do it with multiple guys. Like, I get it, but not this year.
No, it just makes no sense at all. And look, guys get injured every season. And I know we lost Jamal Murray last week, mm-hmm. which is awful to see. That happens. That's not just because of this season. But you would think the NBA would just be like, listen, we've asking these guys, and especially teams like the Grizzlies who miss so many games. They've got now such a condensed schedule to see this one out. If you're the Grizzlies sports staff or sports scientists, they're probably saying, listen, it just doesn't make sense for these guys to play so many games in a row. So we are going to have to take the lead here and sit guys down. And the NBA should be supporting that, really, right now. So, and again, if you're going to fine a team $25,000, you may as well fine them $5. It doesn't make any difference.
Right.
It just looks tacky, I think, honestly, for the league to be like, we're fining you because, you know, the Raptors, well, not going to make the playoffs. The Spurs are probably going to make the play-in tournament. So it's not as though it's like a nationally televised, if it's the Celtics and the Warriors on Saturday night and they do right. it. Then you can understand the NBA, because the way they schedule those games is so that they don't play in back-to-backs and things like that. This is just meaningless. So, yeah, just weird. Just sort of seems like they're causing, you know, themselves to get basically hang shit on the NBA for putting out these ridiculous fines for teams, saying we need to take a few precautions here with our players.
What do you think, Tass?
I totally agree. I find it strange. I just thought this would be the year that it wouldn't happen. And it doesn't happen very often. Even in years past, when it's, you know, been pretty apparent that guys are resting guys, I just didn't think that this would be the case. It seems like they just pick and choose their spots. I wonder what's happening in the league office where they decide, yeah, that team. Because there are teams that get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, my gut almost says that every team got a warning a couple weeks ago because the league saw this happening more. Mm. Like, you talk about there were some nationally televised games, Lee, where it's like there are injuries and then there are also guys being rested. And that's the other thing we've talked about before. It's like, okay, I mean, it's like we're resting him. Well, just say he's got a tingle in his hamstring that we don't want to risk. You know, like, it's so silly that is already. But I think the league told all the teams, hey, guys, we're starting to see a lot of guys being rested here. And then the Spurs continue to do it and the Raptors continue to do it. And I don't blame them at all in some of these instances, a lot of these instances, again, because of the condensed schedule and what their doctors are saying. And then the league's like, okay, well, we got to do this because we've already made the warning, Trey, and now they're still doing it. So here's your $25,000 fine, guys. I just think it's still silly.
Yeah, completely silly. As the stream team is mentioning, Al Horford is signed to a major contract, and he's just not playing for the rest of the season. There should be a clause in the CBA that, yes, they can fine you if you are resting your players, and they determine that that is the case rather than realistic or real injuries. However, if you win that game, you should get all the money back. Because the Spurs and the Raptors both won their games. Like, if you rest your guys and the reserves that fill in, if they win, the NBA should give those guys the fine money.
Yes.
And then they get to enjoy it. And, like, you know, we get to see, like, an Instagram of them celebrating a big pizza party. Hey, 25K, look at this. It should be an honor. Like, why does the NBA not like it that players that nobody knows about are playing incredibly well? Isn't that good for the league?
Yeah.
I would think so, but I don't know. People want to see Donovan Mitchell. They don't want to see Lou Dort score 40 points.
I guess so, yes. They're Dort haters up there in the league office. That's a great point. Yeah, the victories. I mean, and that's a whole other thing. It's like I guess you could just, like, the Raptors could be like, okay, Lowry and Siakam are starting, and they come out there. They don't even take their warm-ups off. Timeout. You're out of the game. Oh, they played.
Yep.
No, it's like, there. I mean, it's so stupid. But anyway, it feels like a lot of people in the stream team agreeing with that one. So it looks like we got a consensus loser of the weekend there for those weird, weird fines. Okay. We still got tweet of the night. We got the pick 'em results and the new pick 'em game. But Tass, one more quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's get to tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Wow, crazy tweet of the night. It's actually tweets of the night. Lee and I were battling to see who was getting a tweet of the night. I had a good one in the you know, lined up in the hopper, and then Lee comes out of nowhere back from Turks and Caicos. Oh, I got one. And I was like, no, I got one. No, I got one. I was like, let's just do them both.
Oh,
all right.
Down.
Yeah. So I'll go first, Lee. I do like yours as well, but this was just a crazy tweet. Talked about Steph Curry versus Tatum going crazy. Curry's on an unreal run right now. At Tommy Beer. I had one of those in Turks and Caicos once. if Steph Curry missed each of his next 500 three-point attempts, say he went 0 for 500 over the next two seasons and retired, he'd still have a higher career three-point percentage than Ray Allen. If Steph missed each of his next 600 three-pointers, he'd still have a higher three-point percentage than Reggie Miller. That's just insane. No idea if it's true. I didn't fact check it, but great tweet. Great tweet, Tommy Beer. Yeah. I believe it is true.
Cheers, Tommy.
Yeah, Curry is a 43.4% three-point shooter. Ray Allen was like basically exactly 40%, and Reggie was 39.5%. But, because Curry has taken so damn many, and it's just he's unbelievable that that's wild that he could miss that many in a row and still sort of be at the exact same three-point percentage as those guys. So, Lee, I thought you would like that one, but you got another one for us.
Yes, and I'm going to play the homer card here because last week we had the WNBA draft, and the number 8th pick by the Chicago Sky was a lady by the name of Shyla Heal, and she is the daughter of former Australian basketball player, NBA player as well, Shane Heal. And Shyla tweeted this out a couple of days ago. She said, "I was 6 years old when I told my dad I'm going to play in the WNBA one day. 13 years of giving basketball everything I have, and I can finally say, Dad, I made it." And she did. And I was looking at a few mock drafts before this, and she was projected to go a little bit later, sort of somewhere in the teens. So for her to go number 8, I was a little bit surprised on, but great for her and just great for Australian basketball. And I was trying to think, you know, if there's been ever sort of any father-daughter combinations from the NBA to the WNBA. I think Karl Malone's daughter played briefly. And I know Akeem Olajuwon's daughter was a good college basketball player. But
JaVale McGee, I guess?
Pam McGee's McGee. Mom.
Mother to son, I guess. Yeah. But just a great moment for Australian basketball because Shane Heal, most people have at least heard of him if you've followed the NBA in the 90s because he had a little altercation with Charles Barkley during a friendly game before the 1996 Olympics. So that was a big talking point. And Shyla, she's feisty. She's like her dad. She plays tough. And I expect her to have I expect her to play quite a bit in this first season for Chicago, playing alongside Candace Parker there. So she's going to be learning from a legend and just a really exciting moment for her and for Australian basketball.
Are you going to get the jersey, Lele?
I think I might get the jersey. I think so. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we were talking about how great these new WNBA jerseys are for the most part. A lot of them are awesome. So.
Yeah.
That's a deep roster in Chicago, though. There's not a lot of playing time to go around.
It's going
to
be tough.
Yeah, let's get a scouting point or a scouting report here, Lee. What kind of game are we getting from Shyla Heal? Is this a Shane Heal-like game, a shooter?
I think so, yes. From what I've seen, she's got that three-pointer. She can step outside, but she's going to go inside. She's going to try to score as well because Shane's only like 5'10", 5'11", and I think she inherited her height from her father too. I don't think she's super tall, Shyla.
Right.
So she's going to get inside. She's going to throw her body around, and she's going to work hard. But the one thing for sure is that she's not going to take a backward step. I think that's what she did absolutely inherit from her father as well because Shane had to punch above his weight a lot of the time because he was small, but he achieved a lot of success. He did play with the San Antonio Spurs briefly too there in 2003, but obviously most of his professional, you know, his prime years were spent in Australia and Europe. So great moment for Shane and Shyla and Australian basketball.
Love it.
The Chicago Sky have another father-daughter professional sports career, but that's Delino DeShields, the baseball player, and Diamond DeShields plays for the Chicago Sky. There's a father. And they got a brother, sister, Candace Parker's Anthony Parker, played in the league, obviously, played in the NBA. And no more, I don't know of a father, classic father-daughter NBA, WNBA. Don't think there's another one. I don't have another one.
Think it over.
Yeah, let's think about it.
Pick'em results brought to you by BetMGM. Friday night's game. Portland, San Antonio. Blazers favored by 1.5. Had to win by 2 or more. They won the game, but didn't cover. Oh my goodness, we're on a hell of a run with games like this. Like, Vegas is nailing these lines, I'll tell you that. We had Tass pick in Portland. We had Trey pick in Portland. I picked Portland. And Lee, JD, filling in for you, actually swerved because he didn't want everybody taking the same team. And it worked out in your favor. So you can thank JD for that one. So yeah, you won that game because the Spurs lost by 1 and they covered the line. Crazy stuff. So you're 7-5. You're tied with Tass at the top. Trey 6-6, and I'm way back at 4-8. So what's our game tonight, Tass?
Oh, we got a good one here. Phoenix against the Milwaukee Bucks. Big battle. The Bucks are favored at home by 3.5. Suns coming off a loss, although they're hot. They've won 11 of 13, and the Bucks also coming off a loss themselves against the Grizzlies there we talked about a little bit earlier. So Suns at home, favored by 3.5 against the Phoenix Suns. Who wants to start us off?
The Bucks at home, sorry?
Yeah, did you say? Yep.
Go ahead, Lele.
Who's got a feeling? Oh. Who's got a nice feeling?
Oh, yeah. 3.5 points. I guess Milwaukee. Sort of. I've picked against Phoenix a couple of times this year, and it's cost me. But I think 4 points, Milwaukee can do it. JD, it sounds like you had a pretty good week for me too. Then last week, 7-5. So thanks for that. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I was trying to sink you on that last pick.
Classic.
But didn't work. So there you go.
Whoops. Yeah.
So your record overall though must be like now what 10-2 or something
like
that.
It's good. It's solid. Hasn't lost that many. Wow. Yeah.
Incredible stuff. Yeah, I'll take Milwaukee.
Skeets, who you got?
Give me the Suns. Sure. I think the Suns are one of the, rare teams in the league with 40 wins. They're damn good. I keep telling people that, so I feel like I got to back them. And maybe this is one where, they end up sort of, like, covering. Because that's been happening a lot here. So maybe they don't even win the game, but they keep it close enough. Give me Phoenix +3.5, sure.
All right, Trey, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Suns as well because I keep ending up on the wrong side of this thing where a team wins the game but they don't cover the spread. So give me the points. I'll take the Suns.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take the Suns as well.
Wow, Lee, the solo guy taking Milwaukee again. He can take the lead in this whole thing if he wins tonight or Milwaukee wins by 4 or more. So good luck to everybody. Okay, let's call it there. Long Monday episode. No surprise. Hashtag full squad. And winners and losers of the NBA weekend takes a while. That's okay. Like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for this week's Beach Steppin' Podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com to email them in. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you if you want to get a subscription. Guys, great to have you back. Lili, looking forward to a classic week in the Classic Factory. Thanks to everybody for joining us here in the stream team. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Stream Team coming through with some family duos of athletes. Adam Boyd mentioning that Darnell Nurse and Kia Nurse. Darnell Nurse plays in the NHL. Kia Nurse, his sis, plays in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. And Ziggy coming through with the Sue Bird and Larry Bird. Shut up, Ziggy. Shut up. They're not related. But thanks. We're all having a chuckle.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.